Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we're going to continue with the short series that we started last week, focusing on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the message is simply titled, Living Life on Holy Spirit Lane. You know, I think it's often been said in church context that the Holy Spirit is the most ignored person in the church, which is quite ironic because the Bible is very clear on who the Holy Spirit is. He's the third person of the Trinity. God is a triune God, one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father is, and He's as much God as Jesus the Son is. And, you know, as you and I journey through life, every single one of us has to choose the lane that we live our lives on or the lane that we run the race of life in. And I simply want to encourage you that the best way you can live your life is by living on Holy Spirit lane. There are many other options that life will present us, but when we take up residence on Holy Spirit lane, the Holy Spirit begins to take up residence in our own lives. And I want us to begin reading from John chapter 16, verse 5. And Jesus speaking to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, he says, But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, speaking of the Father, and none of you seems interested in the purpose of my going. None wonders why. Instead, you are only filled with sorrow. Jesus had begun to speak to his disciples about the fact that he would be put to death, and now they were beginning to feel a bit unsettled. They'd become so used to Jesus being there, they were getting a bit freaked out what life would look like when he was not there. But Jesus said to him, But the fact of the matter is that it is best for you that I go away. Think of that. What could be better than having Jesus by your side every day? Yet he said, There is something better for you when I go away. He says, For if I don't go away, the Comforter. Everyone say the Comforter. The Comforter won't come. If I do, he will, for I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convince the world of its sin and of the availability of God's goodness and deliverance from judgment. Verse 9, the world's sin is unbelief. Unbelief is simply a refusal to believe in the redeeming work of Jesus and a refusal to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's power in our lives and in our worlds. It's the sin of unbelief. It's the unforgivable sin. It's the sin that God Himself cannot even forgive when there is a refusal to believe in the work of Jesus. He goes on to say, There is righteousness available because I go to the Father and you shall see me no more. Verse 11, there is deliverance from judgment because the prince of this world, speaking of the devil, has already been judged. Oh, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't understand it now. Verse 13, when the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth. Remember, we mentioned last week one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into the truth that God has for us. For he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. And I think here we see again the relationship that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Jesus is sent from heaven to earth by the Father. Jesus is now about to accomplish his work on earth for which he was sent down. Now he's about to go back to the Father. But Jesus says once he's gone back to the Father, he will then send the Holy Spirit. And everything the Holy Spirit does points back to Jesus so that God the Father may be glorified. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And remember, we're never complete as believers until we've embraced the love of God the Father, until we've received the forgiveness of God the Son, Jesus, and then until we've been empowered to do the work that God has given us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing we see this morning here is that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to believers. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to believers. Jesus here in speaking to his disciples promises to send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, as an extension of him. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But yet here was Jesus about to go back to heaven. So how could he do both at the same time? Because they seemed to conflict one another. But he said, although I go, the Holy Spirit, the extension of me, part of the Godhead will come and he will take my place with you to comfort you and be with you at all times. Remember when Jesus walked on this earth as a man, although he was fully God, he was also fully man. He could only be in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is what we know as omnipresent. He can be in all places at all times, interacting with all believers and all those who call upon his name. He has no limitations. And so we understand here that he's freely available to every single believer who would call upon his name. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, addressing the crowd, says, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you've received forgiveness for your sins. Then, everyone say then. In other words, only once you've repented of your sins, only once you've received God's forgiveness, now being a believer, he says, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and even to the Gentiles who have been called by the Lord our God. So I think what we see from Scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to believers. He's God's gift to Christians. The Holy Spirit is not available for non-believers and for those who have not repented and given their hearts to the Lord. You can't bypass God the Father and ignore Jesus the Son and expect to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I don't know about all this God stuff and Jesus, yeah, but he was just a man. But give me the power of the Holy Spirit to do awesome things. It doesn't work like that. You have to first receive the love of the Father, then the forgiveness of Jesus the Son. Then you have access to God's gift, the Holy Spirit. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, you might remember in chapter 8, there was a guy called Simon the Sorcerer. And he saw the disciples doing miraculous works under the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, give me this power that you have. Peter rebuked him and said, you can have no part in this because you are not right with God. In other words, you haven't been forgiven of your sins by Jesus. Therefore, you don't yet have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given to Christians, to believers, as confirmation of God's promises, God's love for us, and the hope of eternal life that we have. In John 16, 7, in the Amplified Bible, the writer expands a bit on the person of the Holy Spirit, and it records Jesus' words as saying, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. And I'll come back to that verse in a few moments. Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit as Comforter. That word Comforter in the original Greek is the word Paraclete that is used to describe the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that a number of years ago when in the Central African Republic, in the middle of Africa, the Bible Society was busy translating the Bible into the Kora language. And that language is spoken by about 100,000 people. And in translating the Bible, they came to the word paraclete in the original Greek, and they weren't sure how to translate this word in that Kora language so that it would be fully understood by the people who spoke that language. And one day, they were out in the rural Africa there, and they noticed a group of porters who were carrying bundles of wood on their head, as is common in rural Africa. And they noticed every time they saw a group of these porters go by, there would always be one person walking beside them who would be carrying nothing. And so the Bible translators simply assumed, well, that must be the boss. Because that's often how it works. Everyone does the work and the boss does nothing. He stands and watches. They assumed, okay, well, that's the boss here. But after making some inquiries, they realized, no, that person was not actually the boss. That person actually had a special job. And his or her job was that should anyone fall over with exhaustion, he would come and pick up that person's load and carry it on their behalf. The porter in the Kora language was known as the one who falls down beside us. And in observing this, they realized that is who the Paraclete is. That is how they would translate the Holy Spirit in this language for the people. And if we go back to that passage, the Amplified Bible expands on this term Paraclete, the Comforter. And firstly, it acknowledges the Holy Spirit as being our Comforter. In other words, when you are discouraged, when you are lonely, if you feel you've been rejected or abandoned, the Holy Spirit is there to be your Comforter. But then he's also referred to as the Counselor. When you lack wisdom, when you need guidance, when you need direction, when you have important decisions that you have to make, the Holy Spirit is there to give the counsel of God to you in that situation. But he's also referred to as the Helper. When you simply don't know what to do. Sometimes we pray those prayers, Lord, help. That's as much as we can get out. He's the Helper. He helps us in our time of need. But he's also referred to as the Advocate, the one who defends us against the lies of the enemy, the one who defends us when people falsely accuse us or say things about us, the one who vindicates us and justifies us. He's our Advocate. But then he's also the Intercessor. When you don't know how to pray or what to pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. But more than that, he's also the Strengthener. When you are weak, when you are feeling burdened and weighed down by life's issues, when you are physically sick, he's the one who strengthens us. But more than that, he's also our standby. Standby speaking to the one who stands by you, your closest friend. The Bible in the book of Psalms says of him that he's our very present help in time of need. And that's why as believers, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Can you say amen to that? The second thought is this, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us for supernatural works. He empowers us for supernatural works. You know, we see from the Gospels, Jesus did many supernatural things. He healed people. He turned water into wine. He walked on water, opened blind eyes. But yet he was fully man. How did he do that? Well, he worked under the power of the Holy Spirit. He emptied himself of his divinity, was filled with the Spirit of God, and was able to do miraculous things. And one of the verses in John 14, verse 12, tells us, Jesus said to his followers that you will do even greater things than he did. Now think about that for a moment. How do we get to do even greater things than Jesus did? Well, under the power of the Holy Spirit, all things become possible for believers. There is no limit to that which we can accomplish supernaturally for God when we live and function under the Holy Spirit's power. In Judges chapter 14, in the Old Testament, even before the Holy Spirit had been poured out for all believers, we read about Samson, and it says, as Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. Let me just pause there for a moment. I think that verse there represents a great picture of life. While we were just going on our way, out of nowhere, suddenly adversity faced us. While we were just minding our business, serving Jesus, all of a sudden attack came our way. While life was just going well, there we were, it was all great. All of a sudden, your whole world is turned upside down. How many of you know that's how life works? You can be doing something perfectly right with all the best intentions, and all of a sudden, like it says, suddenly there's attack that comes your way. But I love the very next verse, verse 6, it says, at that moment. What moment is it referring to? Well, that moment of your greatest need. That moment when you are at your most desperate. That moment when everything seems to be going against you. That moment when everything seems like it's falling apart. At that moment, watch, the Spirit of the Lord came. But not only did he came powerfully upon Samson. And it says of Samson that he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. I don't know if you've ever seen a lion face to face. Lions are ferocious. They are not simply just big cats. The Bible says that Samson was attacked by a lion. This lion had one agenda, and his agenda was lunch. Saw Samson, that'll make a good steak. I need to get me some of Samson for lunch. The lion attacked Samson. Now, Samson, we know from the word, was a physically strong man. But no matter how physically strong Samson was, he was still not as strong as a lion, let alone a fierce, hungry lion. Samson's strength still had limitations. Your and my strength has limitations. Our wisdom, our knowledge has limitations to it. And yet it says Samson did something supernatural here. Why was it? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and enabled him to do something that was not naturally possible. A man by the name of Glenn Stewart, a Christian author, says, "The Holy Spirit is your enabler and your resident power source." You know, after being in ministry for many years, I've prayed for many people at times, and people have been healed. Now, I know that it wasn't me that healed them. I can't stand back and say, I've got 7 healings this month. How many healings have you got? Praise God, I've got you. I've got more than you. No. I was just the vehicle that the Holy Spirit used. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, He works through me, and supernatural things are able to be done. I know that every time I preach, even on a day like today, even though some of you perhaps are nodding off and kind of getting that glazed over look in your eyes, every time I preach, the Holy Spirit changes hearts. But it's not me that changes hearts. I cannot change your heart. I can at best try to change your mind or maybe change your perspective on something, but I can't change your heart. Only the Holy Spirit can change your heart. But when we do what He's called us to do under the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden that which we do becomes a supernatural work. Now, never forget this. The Holy Spirit's power working in us and through us is not a substitute for our work. See, because sometimes Christians think, well, it's either work or it's the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, there are too many Christians who are too spiritual for their own good. Because they're on the Holy Spirit cloud. Ha ha, hoo-hoo-hoo. Me and the Holy Spirit. Ha. And they're weird Christians. There are a lot of weird Christians out there. A lot of weird Christians out there. And it's all fairy. I'll let all of you do the work. It's just me and the Holy Spirit. And as a result, nothing ever gets done. No, it's not work or the Holy Spirit. But see, what the Holy Spirit's power does is it transforms our natural work into a supernatural work. He still needs something to work with. Think about Samson. Samson, when he saw the lion attacking him, as the lion jumped and opened its mouth, Samson didn't just go, "There's the hand." And the lion, like in Avengers, jaw ripped open. No, it didn't work like that. That lion came. Samson had to get that lion in a headlock. He still had to do the work. He still had to pull the effort in. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, his natural work was transformed into a supernatural work. And God did something in him and through him that Samson could never do in his own strength. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Ephesians 5:18. Says, don't be drunk with wine. Maybe that's a word for someone this morning. Judging by the laughter, it's probably a word for many of you this morning. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting that the Bible makes a parallel here between people being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen drunk people? Now, I know you've probably only seen them on movies because, you know, on a Saturday night, you're not out in the pubs and clubs. You're at home preparing for church on Sunday, reading your Bible. And but have you ever seen drunk people? They do unusual things. They don't behave normally. So what happens is you will have a guy who's drunk, who picks a fight with another guy 3 times his size, thinking he's going to win. Then you'll have another guy who tries to chat up a girl who's 10 times out of his league, but he thinks he has the confidence to win her over. Is that what happens? Have you ever seen drunk people at karaoke nights? It's horrible. They think they are Josh Groban and Mariah Carey, and painful to listen to. Then you have nice ladies, normal administrative type ladies who get drunk, and then all of a sudden they're on the table dancing and underwear's waving and they do things that are not normal. But unfortunately, what it does, it gives you a false sense of confidence, a false sense of security. And then you end up the next day having to pick up all the pieces and living with a whole lot of regret. But see, here's the thing. What drunkenness does to people in a bad way, and this is the point the word is making, the Holy Spirit does for us in a good way. So when you as a Christian are filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you realize that you have strength to fight battles that you never thought you could fight. You have the ability to fight bigger things that normally would overwhelm you and overpower you, but because of the strength the Holy Spirit gives you, I can do that. I can defeat that thing. All of a sudden, you have the ability to speak to people in ways that you didn't before. No longer are you intimidated by them. But the Holy Spirit gives you the confidence and the boldness to speak when you need to. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples that you will be brought before the rulers of this world and they will question you. But he said, don't worry what you'll say in those moments, for the Holy Spirit will speak through you. When you're empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you a boldness that you didn't have before. A boldness to take risks and stretch your faith in ways where you would previously just have held back. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He empowers us for supernatural works. Can you say amen to that? Here's another thought. The Holy Spirit fast tracks our effectiveness. The Holy Spirit fast tracks our effectiveness. I travel a lot between Durban and Joburg just because of our campuses up there. And because I travel quite regularly, when I get my boarding pass printed now, it has the words on there, fast track, which is quite handy when you're at the airport. Especially when you get to Joburg Airport, for those of you who've traveled there recently, they put a red carpet out for you. All the people queuing this way, you just walk along a red carpet, flash your boarding pass, good afternoon, and they let you through. Well, about 2 weeks ago, Yannette and I were on just a routine midweek flight up to Joburg, and it was one of those early morning Durban flights. You know, those early morning ones. Most people are not at their best then. People are tired, grumpy, miserable, trying to get as much caffeine in their bodies as they can just to give them a kickstart. And by the time we got to the boarding gate, there was already a long queue of people. It was a full flight, as most of those early morning ones are. And there was a long, long queue there. Some people had clearly been standing there for quite a while waiting to board. But then there was a second queue. And there was no one in that queue. That was the fast track queue. And so I looked at my boarding pass. Fast track queue. I thought, isn't God good this early in the morning? And so we proceeded past all the other group of people, walking down this empty row. Morning, praise God. Isn't the Lord good today? Bless you. Got to the front of the queue immediately without anyone in front of us. And as we got to the front of the queue, the lady at the front of the other queue, who had clearly been standing there for a long time, probably hadn't had the best morning so far, she looked at me and she said, excuse me. I said, morning. Praise God. I said that in my heart. I just said. She said, excuse me. She said, why are you not in the queue like everyone else? And I said, well, let me tell you, I'm not in the queue like everyone else. I've got a fast-track boarding pass. That allows me to come to the front of the queue and not have to wait like everyone else. Praise God. And off I went. And I could see she wasn't happy, but nonetheless, that's what it was. You see, the Holy Spirit fast-tracks our effectiveness in what we do for God. And I believe as Holy Spirit-filled Christians, we should have people asking us, excuse me, how is it that you always end up getting to the front of the queue? Excuse me, how is it that you always get ahead of us so quickly? Why is it that we are standing here bogged down and you just seem to be moving forward all the time? Why is it that you have so much favor on your life? Why is it? Well, let me tell you why. I've given my heart to Jesus and I'm now filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always fast track your effectiveness in life. Things that other people struggle with, He allows you to do with ease. Where other people seem bogged down and weighed down and issues, He allows us with through His grace just to keep moving forward, almost effortlessly at times. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does for us. He empowers us to do the work that God has called us to. You know, another thing you often see at airports, especially international airports, is travelators. You know those travelators, they do the walking for you. You don't even have to move and they move you forward. It's quite awesome. Now, especially after a long flight, I mean, I prefer not to get on the travelator simply because, you know, when you've been sitting for hours, it's nice to just walk and get the blood circulating again. But it's always amazing watching people on the travelator versus people who are not on the travelator. You got the two lanes next to one another, the travelator lane and the normal lane. And here's the thing, you can put the same amount of effort in, you just get somewhere quicker on the other one. So when you choose not to go on the travelator, you walk, you walk, you walk, you make some progress. It's awesome. When you get on the travelator, you put in the same effort. And all of a sudden you're like, have you noticed that? Is that what the Holy Spirit does for us? While other people are still trying to sort those issues out, we've already moved beyond that. We've already overcome those struggles. We've already broken through those addictions. We've already moved past all those issues and struggles. Because the Holy Spirit is there to fast track our lives. But remember, not for our glory. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit will never fill someone whose agenda is not the same as God the Father's agenda. The Father's agenda is to make the Son, Jesus, known to the world. The Holy Spirit's not going to empower you so that you can be cooler and trendier. He's not going to make you lose weight. I need 5 kilograms. Let me get the Holy Spirit in me. No, He's not going to do that. He's not going to empower you to get you a greater promotion at work or to help you make more money. No, He's going to empower you to do the work of the Father. That is acknowledging Jesus in our world. Smith Wigglesworth, the great preacher, once said, you will do more in 1 year if you are really filled with the Holy Ghost than you could do in 50 years apart from Him. Now, I want to demonstrate something for you this morning that'll hopefully bring some clarity and maybe greater understanding as to how the Holy Spirit works. And I've got a few volunteers that are going to help me. How many of you know what this is? This is a rubber glove. Some of you are already getting a bit nervous when you see, but anyway, this is the rubber glove. This glove represents my life, and it represents your life. You might think you are more awesome than a rubber glove, but you're just a rubber glove. That's it. That's Bible says we are like reeds in the wind, tossed about. We're like rubber gloves. But anyway, as I find myself, God has made me, He's created me, and He's given me work to do. And so, with my life, the rubber glove, I need to now do the best that I can. And so, God has called me to ministry. And so, I've got this Bible here that I work from, I study. And so, this is me trying to, in my own strength, do what God has called me to. Gee, it's hard. I just never seem to find the right scripture. And I can never just open myself to God the way I need to. So I become a little bit discouraged. Then I realized that there is a huge weight of responsibility on what I do. And there's a weight of expectation from those who look to me as their leader. And so I try and pick up and carry that weight of expectation. And I realize no matter how I try, no matter what angle I come from, I always seem to be dropping the ball. But anyway, I don't let that hold me back. I keep moving on. Then I realize that there's a great need in life for all of us to build healthy relationships. And so I find Lucan, he seems like a good guy. And I decide, you know what, I'm going to build a relationship with him. So I reach out to him, but it's weird. It's like I can see he's trying to build with me, but I'm just a bit awkward. It just doesn't feel right. Anyway, so I assume, well, there's probably something wrong with Lucan that he just doesn't get it. So I'm going to move on. Then I come across this poor guy, and he's had a rough life. Got addictions and issues, and he's just broken and messed up. But yet I know that part of my Christian duty is to help those who've fallen and to lift up people who've come on hard times. And so I have good intent. I see compassion. I think I need to help this guy. And so I reach out to him and I try and lift him up. But nothing's happening. I'm trying to pull him up. But it seems that nothing I do or say gets through to him. Because he seems like he's still in the same place. Now I'm becoming really, really desperate because I don't know what to do now. But then I come across one more person. And I can see him bawling, and she clearly needs Jesus. I mean, look at her. How many of you? She desperately needs Jesus. If anyone needs Jesus, it's her. But because my heart is to reach people for Jesus, I begin to share my faith with her. And I know the direction that she needs to go. And I say, hey, we need to go that way to Jesus. No, Jesus is that way. But every time I point her to Jesus, it seems like I'm sending her in the wrong direction. Because I'm trying to tell her to go that way, but actually my life is showing you need to go this way. And so I get discouraged and she gets confused. You and I, apart from the Holy Spirit, are no better than this glove. But what I do now, I decide, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of doing life my way. I want to live in the fullness of the power you have available for me. So I allow the Holy Spirit, my hand is the Holy Spirit, by the way. I allow the Holy Spirit to fill my life. Every area of my life. I leave nothing unsurrendered to Him. Holy Spirit, would you fill me completely? Not just the thumb and the forefinger, fill every area of my life. And He begins to fill me. And all of a sudden, I put the same effort into everything I did before. So I go back to the work that the Holy Spirit has called me to. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. All of a sudden, I put the same effort in, but the outcome of what I do is all of a sudden different. Then I look at the weight of expectation upon me and the responsibilities I have. And all of a sudden, no problem. I can carry the responsibility. But not only can I carry it, I can actually use the responsibility that I carry to grow me and enlarge me and increase my capacity. And I realize I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I understand my need for building healthy Christian relationships. And I find this guy who's reached out to me. And all of a sudden, it's not weird anymore. I'm not thinking there's something wrong with him. He's not thinking I'm a weird Christian anymore. And we build bridges. And then I come across this guy who's still in the same place. In fact, he's worse off than before now. But now when I reach out to him, guess what? I'm able to help lift his life and make an impact on his life. And then I find this rotten sinner over here who is now so far from Jesus. I mean, most would think there's no hope for her now. But now I share my faith with her exactly as I did before. And I tell her, hey, that's the way you need to go. That's the direction that you need to take your life in. That's what Jesus has for you. all of a sudden she's not confused. I'm not discouraged. I can lead her to Christ. The only thing that is different in the two scenarios is not the effort. It's not the intent. It's not the heart behind what I'm doing. It's simply the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When He fills your life, not only will you do supernatural things for the Lord, but He greatly increases our effectiveness in everything that we do.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.